In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, please be seated. To understand the Beatitudes is to understand the audience. Jesus is speaking to people at the bottom of the social ladder. These followers of Jesus seek him in another world of possibility that goes beyond their suffering. He offers them this world, God's kingdom, from a mountaintop, a biblical place of revelation and of vision. Moses once revealed the commandments from a mountain, and now Jesus reveals God's vision from the same space. And he gives people hope and encourages them to trust beyond what they can even imagine or see. He promises that they are the truly blessed ones. This runs very counter to perspectives in the culture of security. And he gives them strength to remain faithful and to work for the kingdom. These sayings are not superficial sayings, but they're radical statements that demands one's life and fidelity. At the same time, they can both convict and comfort. Those who receive God's favor are not the privileged classes of the Roman Empire or the Jewish establishment, but the Beatitudes are spoken to those groups who God deems worthy, and not by virtue of their own achievements or their status in society, but because God chooses to be on the side of the weak, the forgotten, the despised, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for their beliefs. This could also be termed God's preferential option for the poor by one theologian named Gutierrez. For God's kingdom upends social hierarchies and esteem, and it condemns all structures and people who live at the expense of another's well-being. What I want to do is offer you the words of the Beatitudes again, offered in contemporary language from a wonderful biblical scholar and theologian, Eugene Peterson. These are the words that he says. You're blessed. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed the hillside, and those who were apprenticed to him, committed to him, climbed alongside of him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. Well, think of this as a conversation, if you do this, between yourself and Jesus. You're standing alone on a shore, and he's inviting you to walk along and follow him. He's always inviting this. The scene is peaceful and quiet. And imagine him quietly speaking each of these statements and using your name. So imagine yourself in the place of the one being spoken to. In this way, your relationship with him, with God, is deepening and gaining relevance in your life. In this way, an intention to pray with Jesus, opening your mind and your heart to him, can become an awakening. In this way, our hearts can inform our minds. So you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. Less of you, less of us, more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment that you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, F-U-L-L, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind, and your heart put right. then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your true place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you deeper, even into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you or discredit you. What that means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. And you can be glad when that happens. You can even cheer. For though they don't like it, I do. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Our Old Testament reading from Micah asks, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? So what then is the good? A humble faithfulness to God causes us to recognize our dependence first and foremost on him. Jesus is providing us with a roadmap, if you will, in the Beatitudes. Well, this response can literally be seen in our Tawanda community. I'll give some examples this morning. The Endless Mountain Mission Center, which offers temporary shelter to the homeless in addition to utility, rental, food, counseling, and case management to get people on an independent living path. Elizabeth, one of their cases, is a case in point. She was a 79-year-old woman who moved in with her daughter to live out her life. This was going to be a lovely point in time in her life moving forward. And then her daughter dies unexpectedly, leaving her absolutely homeless. She was approved for a temporary stay at the mission center, after which she acquired some low-income housing with assistance and with medical appointments. So she now can live independently after her connection with the appropriate agencies. Praise God. At Grace Connection, here on this site at Christ Church, a mother with children is interviewing with our Judy, who's present in the office. There's little books of the New Testament on her desk, and with curiosity, an 8-year-old picks one up and begins to read from those tiny little scripture passages right in the middle of those books while his mother is applying for assistance. His eyes light up. He exclaims, Mommy, Mommy, this is us. We need this book. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. It brought Judy to tears. And she sent him off with a book and a prayer in her heart. Many prayers and opportunities generate from our center here. More and both are always welcome, and I'm so grateful for these ministries that got off the ground in this hallowed space. I'm even more delighted that it's an ecumenical initiative. The end of the rope is often what is encountered in the souls and persons entering our doors, in front of us, in our offices, and we need compassion and a presence to make our world a better place. So know that you are blessed, and know that God loves you and is continually available to you. Love one another as I have loved you, says Jesus. And now, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, from this day forth, forevermore.